The US President Donald Trump has warned Turkey he'll destroy its economy if Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan goes off limits with the planned military operation in Syria. The president's decision to withdraw troops from northern Syria, paving the way for a potential Turkish invasion, has been met with widespread condemnation, with Kurdish fighters denouncing it as a stab in the back. The Trump administration's former special envoy on ISIS, Brett McGurk, says the move will diminish the trust allies have in the US, while Senator Lindsey Graham says it's irresponsible.
The caliphate would not have been destroyed without the Kurds, but this impulsive decision by the president has undone all the gains we've made.
That's Republican Senator Lindsey Graham speaking overnight. Well, Nicholas Burns is a former Undersecretary of State serving in the administration of George W. Bush. He was the US ambassador to NATO and played a key role during Afghanistan's invasion. He's worked for five American presidents. He's now an advisor to Joe Biden's presidential campaign, and he joins me in our Sydney studios this morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
And welcome to Australia.
Thank you.
What's your reaction to President Trump's decision to abandon the Kurds in northern Syria?
I think this is deeply misguided, Hamish. The United States has worked with the Syrian Kurds for years now. They've protected our special forces there. They've denied their positions in northern Syria to the Russians, Iranians, and Assad government. They've done the right thing in helping us to defeat, at least temporarily, the Islamic State. They're holding thousands of Islamic State prisoners, so securing them so that they can't go back to their terrorism. And the president yesterday, our president, very impulsively decided on a phone call with President Erdogan of Turkey that we'll move our troops back, allow the Turks to come 30 kilometers down inside of Syria. And that really means, I think, the death or at least an attack on these Syrian Kurds who've been so courageous in supporting positions that Australia, the United States, Britain, France have all thought was important. So very, very dangerous.
If you are an ally of the United States anywhere in the world, this kind of thing is pretty chilling.
I think it's actually the most important part of this, that if you're an ally in the Middle East or if you're an ally here in Australia or in Western Europe, how can you be convinced that this particular president, and I obviously am an opponent of President Trump, is going to keep the commitments of the United States. I mean, countries have reputations. You have your word to keep, just like individuals do. And in this case, the president has gone back on his word.
Brett McGurk, who we just mentioned, then the former special ISIS envoy, says that the value of an American handshake is depreciating. Can I put it to you quite simply that the United States is no longer a reliable ally?
I hope that's not the case. I fear it may be under President Trump. It is good to see senior Republicans in the Senate, even the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, come out and denounce the president just over the last 4 or 5 hours before we came on the air. The American public believes in all the polls that our allies, Australia, Britain, Germany, are vital to us. And so I think most of America wants to be a good ally with countries around the world. This particular president seems to have no allegiances. He doesn't have a history, of course, as an alliance leader. He tends to condemn allies and criticize them rather than uphold them.
Donald Trump, though, says that if Turkey goes off limits in its operations in Syria, that he will destroy its economy. What is off limits in such an operation?
Well, he tweeted that out because he was being roundly criticized by his own party just in the last few hours. What does that mean? Destroy the Turkish economy? Turkey is actually a NATO ally of the United States. We can't want to destroy the Turkish economy when they're harboring so many refugees, when Turkey is a friendly country despite our governmental differences. And so it's another indication into the unsuitability of President Trump for high office. I think he's not fit to be our president.
But to be fair to him, I mean, he's placing some restrictions around Turkish operations in Syria, and he's making it very clear that he does not want to see a massacre of the Kurds.
But he's just taken the decision that he'll move the American special forces in such a way that exposes the Syrian Kurds to attack from the Turkish military. The Turks believe that these Syrian Kurds are actually terrorists. We don't agree with that. But now the president has left them exposed. Allies don't do that.
Is this a problem of Trump's making, though?
I think it is a problem of Trump's making. I know for a fact that the State Department and the Pentagon opposed what the president decided over the last 24 hours, felt that we should stay. You know, we only have a couple of hundred American special forces in northern Syria. It's not as if we have a corps of soldiers there.
When you say the department, the State Department and the Pentagon, the leadership of them or just the people that work there?
The leadership of the State Department and the Defense Department did not want the president to withdraw our soldiers from northern Syria. In fact, if you remember, Hamish, our former Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, actually resigned office last December over this specific issue when the president tried a year ago to remove American forces from Syria.
What are the broader strategic implications here of a Turkish power play in the region?
Well, it will sow further terrorism. Certainly, there's going to be a bloodletting against the Kurds, which is going to be quite ugly. In addition to that, the Islamic State has been largely but not completely defeated. And if, in fact, the Syrian Kurds are not there dependent on the Islamic State, could that group regenerate and could it produce a problem again? And we know about that group. It's an evil group.
Could we have pushed back ISIS in the way that we have without the help of these Kurds?
You could, but the Syrian Kurds were the most effective fighting force, in our judgment, against the Islamic State. They were our partners on the ground as we conducted an air campaign against the Islamic State over the last several years.
So if there was a resurgence of ISIS and the United States and a coalition of Western allies wanted support from local fighting militias to push back against them, who in their right mind would sign up to do
that? Why would they support us? And here's the problem with President Trump. He's highly transactional. He's not thinking strategically. He's not thinking about building long-term alliances, at least in the Middle East in this instance. And that's harmful to the United States. I mean, if you don't protect your friends and your partners and your allies, then why would they be with you when you need them in a month or two or three from now?
If I can turn our attention to another topic, the House Democrats are moving quickly with their impeachment inquiry into President Trump, with more key witnesses due to be questioned this week. Donald Trump has now asked China to investigate Joe Biden. I know you're working on that campaign. And that's led the Democratic presidential candidate to take a more aggressive stance. Let's just take a listen.
The fact of the matter is, you know, you wonder what this guy's going to do. Have you ever seen, a rhetorical question, a president ever so unhinged as this guy is? That's what worries me. Let the House focus on what they're focusing on in the Senate, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to beat him on the merits.
That's Joe Biden speaking there. What advice are you giving him about responding to the accusations leveled against him?
Well, former Vice President Biden has responded very forcefully in two ways in the last week. He wrote an article in the Washington Post over the weekend taking on Donald Trump directly on these issues. He also gave a speech in Reno, Nevada, one of our early primary states, saying the same thing. And he's speaking for a lot of people, Vice President Biden, when he says it is absolutely incorrect for an American president to request China or Ukraine to directly interfere in our election by investigating one of President Trump's political opponents. That's why there's an impeachment inquiry in the House of Representatives.
Quite apart from the way President Trump has gone about it, is it reasonable to look at the role of Joe Biden's son, Hunter, in terms of his business dealings in Ukraine?
Well, all sorts of media outlets, including the Wall Street Journal and Washington Post, the New York Times, have looked intensely at this issue of Hunter Biden. And all of them say, read Glenn Kessler in the Washington Post, a very tough-minded journalist, there's nothing here. The president is actually putting out a story that is completely untrue.
But Hunter Biden had no real relevant experience, as I understand it, in the Ukrainian gas industry. Why was he given a lucrative director's position at a Ukrainian gas company while his father was the vice president of the United States?
That's not the central issue that Trump's talking about. Trump says
But that's still a question.
It's a question. It is.
So what's the answer?
The answer is that Hunter Biden's a private citizen. And in our society, private citizens can do, you know, what they want and need to do. But the question here is, did Vice President Biden use his influence in such a way to shield his son with the prosecutor of Ukraine? And that story is completely untrue. And the news media has led the charge in saying it's untrue. We now have this bizarre spectacle in American politics where the president actually lies, consistently lies, not just about this issue, about lots of different issues. That's a new experience for us.
Isn't there something about this particular range of assertions that the president makes in this case that there may be a few facts buried in there in the broader spray of things that he says, and that in itself is enough to create a stink, and that Trump is a master of using that stink to fight against his opponents? And that's exactly what he's doing with Joe Biden.
It's worked for him in the past. And I think we're determined that it won't work for him in the next 13 months before our 2020 election, because, you know, you can't just go to the voters and distort reality and tell lies and not tell the truth about major issues.
Would it help, do you think, if Joe Biden and his son were more forthcoming in explaining those business dealings, those business relationships, the money that he received, the son, while his father was the vice president?
All that information is out there. There have been lots of stories written about this. And I think it's very important that the pressure actually be on President Trump to tell the truth rather than asking Vice President Biden to say it, to defend himself every day against charges that are completely untrue.
And this is, I think, where the fight, the political fight, gets interesting. Joe Biden has now released a TV ad which accuses Trump directly of corruption. Let's take a listen.
Donald Trump is spending millions in negative TV ads, lying about the one Democrat he doesn't want to face.
Now, fearful about his re-election, he's becoming more unhinged. He wants a campaign on his terms.
That's just a sample of the advert. I mean, what does this say about Joe Biden's chances? He was seen as the clear favorite, I think less so at this point, probably. Elizabeth Warren's doing pretty well in the polls. Doesn't he seem a little bit like he's on the defensive?
There's a very competitive race in the Democratic Party, for sure. I think Vice President Biden is still seen by most people to be the front runner. But it's interesting. 13 months before our general election, it's almost turned into a Trump-Biden race right now. And Vice President Biden has gone at President Trump this week on the issues that you've raised, Hamish. And I think the vice president's doing well. He's certainly better prepared to govern this country, our country, the United States, than Donald Trump, given the Trump record over the last 3 years.
Do you think Trump's attacks on Biden promote Biden's chances of becoming the Democratic candidate?
I think they do help. They could hurt, of course, because people might believe these lies. They shouldn't, but they might. I think it helps, actually, because it showcases the huge disparity in personal characteristics, morality, truthfulness, and experience between Vice President Biden, on the one hand, who I think is truly ready to govern the country and would be a great alliance leader, and President Trump, who I think is weak in the United States.
Can you rebuild those alliances? Can you rebuild the trust that, as you pointed out at the beginning of this conversation, have so clearly been lost in a very short space of time?
It's very important. Our alliance with Australia, for instance, is vital to the United States. Our alliance in NATO, I've been ambassador to NATO. I think we can rebuild trust with governments rather quickly if President Trump is defeated. I worry about public attitudes here in Australia. In Germany, I look at these public opinion polls, and I worry that people are losing faith with us. And I would just say, there's another America out there. There's another America of people who really believe that we should be globally minded, that we should be in the climate change agreement, that we should be true to our allies like Australia. I'm spending 3 weeks here with Lowy Institute, traveling around Australia, talking about the alliance and the fact that Australians and Americans have so much in common. You don't hear that from the president very much, but I think that it does express the sentiment in our country that we can't be isolationist. We can't just go it alone. It can't just be about the United States. We have to work with others around the world.
If that other America exists, what's happened to it?
It definitely exists. If you look at our public opinion polls, very strong public support for NATO, for our alliance with Japan and Australia, for trade, for continuing to be an immigrant society. Everything that Donald Trump opposes, the American public in polls, look at the Chicago Council poll of last month, say these are very important values that we should uphold.
I think we've all seen enough polls to know we can't really trust them any longer.
I trust those, however. That's why I use them.
In terms of public perception in the United States, there is another question I want to ask you about. You were, as I mentioned, a key figure in the Bush administration when Alexander Downer was Australia's foreign minister. There is very clearly a perception in senior ranks in the US right now that he was somehow a leftist spy working for the Clintons when he had that meeting with George Papadopoulos.
It's just extraordinary. First of all, I'm a friend of Alex Downer, and I admire him. And the fact that people around Donald Trump see Alex Downer as some kind of left-wing, anti-Trump person, they just don't know Alex Downer. They don't know about Australian politics. And that's part of the larger problem here. They don't know the world.
In your view, did Alexander Downer act appropriately after his meeting with the Trump campaign operative,
yes,
George Papadopoulos?
Yes, of course he did. Yes, he definitely did.
Why? Explain that.
Because, I mean, allies have to, if you see something that is potentially wrong, in this case, someone, Papadopoulos, saying that he's working with the Russian government to dig up dirt on Hillary Clinton as a good friend of the United States? Certainly, Alex Downer did the right thing.
We spoke to Alexander Downer as this story broke last week on this program. Donald Trump was accused last week of asking the Australian Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, to help him gather information for this Justice Department inquiry that would discredit the Mueller investigation. He was, in effect, asking the Australian government to investigate itself. I want to play a sample of what Alexander Downer said in response.
I've got nothing to say about it beyond what I've ever said. So yes. I don't know anything at all about conversations that Scott Morrison has had with Donald Trump. That, I'm afraid, these days is not the sort of thing that I'm privy to. I mean, I had a conversation with this guy. I passed on the conversation, or the element of that one element of the conversation to the Americans. And, I mean, there's just nothing more to it.
That's Alexander Downer on this program last week. Was there, though, in essence, anything wrong with what Donald Trump is reported to have asked or requested from Scott Morrison?
Well, I think that our government needs to be careful not to ask a friendly ally government like Australia to, in essence, not to drag the Australian government into our partisan politics. It's quite normal for governments like ours to cooperate on legal issues. We have a legal assistance treaty. It's quite normal to do that. This is different. This is Donald Trump trolling about with governments around the world to try to drag them into interference in our elections. And I'm a guest in your country. I don't want to give any specific advice to your government. Your government doesn't need my advice. But I just think in general, it's wrong for the President of the United States to do this. That's why there's an impeachment inquiry. That's why he may very well be impeached by the House of Representatives.
But it doesn't sound like the U.S. President was holding anything over Australia in making this request. It was a simple, straightforward request.
But
can you assist?
I admired the letter that Ambassador Joe Hockey issued, and it was made public, a letter from your ambassador to Senator Lindsey Graham last week, defending Alex Downer. I thought that was Australia's right to do that.
And in particular, making the point that there was no instruction for Alex Downer to meet with George Papadopoulos.
That's
why
right.
Is that significant?
It's significant because the Trump campaign, Trump administration, is trying to assert that there is actually a conspiracy of the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton campaign to have others interfere in our election in 2016. Our intelligence community said on a nonpartisan basis, after thorough study, it was the Russian government that interfered in our election in 2016. Donald Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, are trying to assert that it was the Ukrainian government operating with the Democrats. And that is an absurd story. It's not based in any fact. It's just a rumor. And that the president is going around the world asking other presidents, including perhaps your prime minister, to aid and assist. I think other governments need to be careful about that kind of thing.
We are a few years now into the first Trump term in the White House. There could be another. How, in your view, just standing back from things slightly, has he changed America and its place in the world?
He has divided us by race. He's been mean-spirited. There's been no civility in our national discourse led by the president. I think he's weakened us overseas. He's diminished our alliances, particularly in Europe with the EU and NATO. He has dismantled the international trade regime. We don't have a trans-Pacific partnership with Australia because Donald Trump took us out. He's taken us out of the climate change agreement. He's severely restricted refugee inflow into the United States when there's 68 million refugees in the world. He's reduced the number of immigrants and coming into our country, and we're an immigrant society. Every American has an immigrant story. So on issue after issue, he's weakening us.
But he still has pretty good support in the United States. We even hear from our audience here, a lot of Australians think he's doing a great job, that he's taking a tough position on things like China, things like
intellectual property. Well, that's why
I'm
looking forward to talk to Australians about what's happening in the United States. I'll be in Canberra and Melbourne as well as Sydney doing that.
But do you think the Australians that think he is actually the kind of tough leader that America has needed for a long time, particularly in a region where China's influence is growing, do you think they've got it wrong?
I do, respectfully. Because look, what has he got from Kim Jong-un in three summits? Absolutely nothing. And Kim is now firing rockets at the Sea of Japan. What does he have from Putin? He's been soft on Putin, soft on Xi Jinping. He's all bark and no bite. He's a paper tiger. I mean, pick your reference point there. And at the same time that he's so infatuated with authoritarian leaders, who does he criticize? He went after Prime Minister Turnbull at the very beginning. Angela Merkel, Justin Trudeau, Theresa May. He attacks the Democratic leaders. and he is convivial with the authoritarian leaders. That bothers me as an American.
Very briefly before we go, obviously the impeachment process is underway. You've worked for administrations, Republican administrations
both
as well.
Parties, yeah.
What chance do you think there is that the Republican-controlled Senate will impeach him?
I think right now the Republican-controlled Senate would not convict him in a trial, which is our process. But there may be further revelations. Who else did Donald Trump ask to intervene in our politics? Putin? We don't know. And so I think we have to wait further revelations. This is going to be a very rocky year. Bear with us. I think America will be back.
Nicholas Burns, appreciate your time this morning. Thank
Thanks
you
so much. Thank you.
Nicholas Burns is a former Undersecretary of State and NATO ambassador, currently an advisor to Joe Biden's presidential campaign. He's in Australia as a guest of the Lowy Institute.